Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful that you can join us again this September the 4th, wow, 2018, for another episode of Talk Straight. Bear with us there if you're cross-listening to us from Facebook live stream and the podcast platform. We're working on getting our Facebook stream together here. No problem. But again, nonetheless, this is a national dialogue sponsored by Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, or Institute is the research arm for the nonprofit. And our endeavor is to have national dialogue across the United States of America, particularly in urban American communities. And our drive is to provide substantive information that will help improve the quality of life for many. And so when we speak tonight, as with any night, we strive to offer factual information and to have substantive dialogue. The philosophy is that with that, we can learn from one another's stories, and we're in a much better position to come up with real solutions to the many problems that we either ourselves face or individuals that we know face. Nonetheless, we are grateful that you have joined us, and we're going to actually have our monologue here, very brief monologue, and then we open up our phone lines. We hope to have Pastor Ricky Wally. You can call here live at the to join us in conversation at 657-383-0944. Welcome, Facebook friends. We apologize for the brief delay there, but we're now live, and we encourage you to give us a shout here at Talk Straight. Your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. The number to call here live again is 657-383-0944. Grateful that you can join us again tonight. And as we said, we're going to get moving with our monologue. If a person lives long enough in life, rest assured that you're going to face some troubles, right? Confront some issues, have some sort of challenge, some sort of struggle. much like a wild bull, in many cases, life hits you all at one time, and it tackles you. And if you're not ready, it can knock you afoot. And your life could be in such a way that you're not sure what's coming next. There are a lot of people who can never rebound. They never get their footing again. Life overcomes them. Tonight, what we want to talk about is how to catch your struggle by his horns and overcome them. Now, I'm not a cowboy or a country boy by no stretch of the imagination. I'm a city boy. If I have to be called anything. But I've been to the country, and I've seen how in the country cowboys herd livestock, cows and bulls, things of that nature. In particular, the bull, when they wrestle a bull, there's an art to it. Now, I'm not an expert on it at all, but there's an art to tackling a bull, grabbing him by his horn, and flipping that bull over. Man, I said, boy, that's something to watch him. But I want to talk about life. Good people have struggles in their life. And they drown because they don't have the coping management system. Listen to these two brief texts right quickly. Let's see if we can't get some out of Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse. You've heard me and Pastor Wallace say this many times before. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all of thy getting, get understanding. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That sounds like good news to me. If I put the two of them together, guess what I come out with? If I follow the principle thing of wisdom, and I make sure that I get a real good understanding in this world when I face trouble, not only do I have understanding how to make it through the rain and the storm, but I know that the Savior of the universe has overcome the world. All right, I didn't come to preach. I'm going to stop right there. But listen, let's talk about this thing about life. Let's talk about how it struggles in life. Your individual challenges. Is it fair that you have challenges? Is that fair that you have to go to challenge? Well, who said anything in everybody's life? A little rain must fall. In fact, Marvin Gaye said that there's three things that's for sure: taxes, death, and trouble. That's in the United States. Now, I bear witness to that. I'm gonna see if I got some witnesses on the line there in a minute. Three things, that's for sure: taxes, death, and trouble. He said, "This I know." Now, watch this. I want to talk about the indication that you are alive. How do you know that you're living? There are some people who are tapped out of reality. They're not even sure if they're living or dead. Good people, especially in urban America. You couldn't convince them that they're living life. How bad it is for them. Here are the characteristics of any living thing. It's made up of cells. All right, so you can touch your skin and your flesh. It's made up of cells. That's one way to touch it, see if you're alive. Are you walking with me? And it's important that we have good physical health to maintain and sustain our lives, the shell of a body that we have. Right? Then it requires energy. You know? So you have to have some sort of nourishment or substance to keep this shell of a body moving and going and operating. Are y'all walking with me? Sometimes it's hard. Some folks. Just to eat. You wonder why the shorties are out there on the snatch and grab. Because for them, that's the only way they know how to eat. Huh? One thing about it, they know their body needs to eat, and they ain't about to go hungry. Talking about your struggle right now, how you can catch it by the horns and overcome them. All right? Then, characteristic of a living thing is that you grow, you develop, you reproduce, and you're able to repair yourself. Now, in the last 10, 20 years in urban America, the question is, how well, collectively, have we grown or have you grown? In your life, how well have you moved forward or have you moved backward? When things are broken in your life, how prepared are you to fix them? Typically, it's suggested that you should have in reserve in some sort of savings or account at least 3 months of your monthly income. Just in case you lose your job or you get sick, something happens, you got a reserve. Many of us, I can honestly say myself, I found there are many times where that wasn't the case, you know. And so what happens is good people find themselves living from paycheck to paycheck, trying to rob Peter to pay Paul. And then when Peter tells you, hold up, man, I ain't going no more, you're really in trouble then. You understand what I'm saying? That's a real problem then, amen? How you doing, Brother Coleman? Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. All right? Then another characteristic is that you produce waste. We kind of talked about this a couple of shows ago. It's healthy to know when you have produced waste in your life and we need to get rid of some things. Cut some fat, trim some things, get rid of it. Don't hold on to it. Sometimes people hold on to their pain and frustration just to sustain themselves. Let it go, man. Just let it go. All right? And then respond and adapt to the environment that we live in. Specifically in urban America, we know that there are a lot of socio-emotional challenges, economic challenges that determine where you can live, what you can eat, what kind of clothes you wear, right? They exist, no doubt about it. But the truth of the matter, as a living being, you have the ability to make adaptations so that you can survive. Otherwise, you get sucked up. And lastly, all living things have a lifespan. From the time you're born until the time you die. Unfortunately, too many good young people checking out well ahead of time. That's really what brings me to this I want to share with you. Then we open up the lines. I see we got Pastor Wally in with us here. If you're on Facebook, give us a call here, 657-330-944, or just shoot me a question or comment. Brother Ron, feel free to give me a question or comment here. Brother by the name of Timothy Wright sang this song right here. Listen to him for a second. Thank you. Pastor Waller, not too long ago. And, man, this brother was hitting it rough, you know what I'm saying? And it just looked like to me in his eyes that he's ready to call it quits. I said, man, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? He said, man, I don't even know. 10 years, I'm trying to live today. And it's hard. It's hard when you're going through a situation where you can't appreciate the forest for all the trees you keep running into, especially when it's midnight. Did y'all hear that? Especially when it's midnight. Y'all ever been in the woods at midnight? I have.
Yes,
kind of crazy, that. Kind of crazy. I'm talking about pitch black midnight where you can't even see your hand in front of you without a flashlight.
Like,
huh?
Like TV where they say you hear all kinds of noise.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm talking about.
You got to hold on to your inner being and not your outer being.
Mama Diane, what I found out in that situation, I used to do camping with my son, Boy Scout, and I did a few camping prior to that. And what I realized is you got to slow it down. If you don't know where you're going, right, the trees know more about the forest than you do.
Yes, sir.
And you're running. If you don't slow it down, you're running bust your head. You got to slow it down and feel your way. Because you're tripping,
right,
falling.
Now.
I wish I had a witness here.
You do got to witness me. And you will
All right.
feel your way, even if it's in your house and you're supposed to learn your whole home.
Wow.
You learn
wow.
your home in the dark. If a burglar come in that mud, you can hide on the floor. He won't know where you at.
What about that, Pastor Wallace? I ain't come to mess with you, Diane. You something else.
I know one thing, if I can only share this and be open about it.
Yes, sir.
Was something that I heard you say earlier about basically being in trouble and being caught up in some kind of way. And then I heard the song that was rendered. You know, say he may not come when you want him to.
When you want him.
But he's always on
right.
time. And,
all
and
right.
so when you
right.
think
always.
Always, you know, sometimes being in trouble, it's a learning how to wait to get out of it. You mentioned about patience. And, you know, I don't want to be in trouble today, but this is the day that the Lord has made. And so
right.
I have to deal with trouble knowing that I may not get out of it today. So if I just wait, because I heard Isaiah say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. See, while trouble is going on, you still can be strengthened while you wait. And that's what I remember doing. And of course, he didn't come when I wanted him to, but I was just thankful that he was right on time. And it helped me appreciate when he did come, you see. Trouble don't feel good because it's easy to get into. But exactly, I found out it was hard to get out of it. And sure enough, man, it's an outstanding thing that you're talking about. And I'm just appreciative of realizing that I can recall and look back over it. And I can be thankful because it's personal. It's nothing against nobody else.
Right.
It's just,
right.
I guess I've had the experience and the struggle of trying to get out of it myself. And it got worse.
Excuse me, Pastor. Yes, sir. Excuse me. Had you not went through those things, you wouldn't be able to witness to speak the things in the name of Jesus that you do today, correct or not?
That's definitely true.
It was a life lesson. And now that you know what you know, you go to others and you teach and you tell them about your deliverance. Right or wrong?
That's correct, because I don't do it no other way other than it, because I can't tell them about their own deliverance because I don't know. So I have to tell them about my deliverance. That's my experience. And sometimes people may not even hear it for obvious reasons, but I still have to tell it because it's my own personal understanding of what deliverance is about, and I think that there's still hope for others. I remember there was a guy that was testifying, and he was in the streets with me, and I heard him one night say that he had been off of drugs for a year, and I was excited for him, but I was thinking, man, I wonder when it would feel like if I could get out of that skateboard here, you know. And, you know, and the time came years later, and I was able to experience it, and it was just an outstanding thing, even though he went back out and got caught back up. But I was just thrilled because he said that, and, you know, it inspired me to hear that. And once I got free, I just never went back. I'm like, man. So I got a chance to experience it, and it's a good thing.
That's wonderful. You have a lovely, I mean, you have an exhilarating testimony. I like that. Because without life, and you live in life, you don't have a testimony. And we all have a story to tell. If there's someone you can catch and listen to it, that may inspire someone else.
Right. You know, as we talk about this particular topic, guys, you know, I think what happens is we look for things to come to us in a certain manner and for the end to be a certain way. And when it doesn't come out the way we're looking for, then we feel like we have lost or we fail. Now, I've had to learn the hard way that sometimes it's not going to be like you want it.
A lot of times.
A lot of times. That's right. A lot of times. And the fact that you are still alive despite your struggle, the fact that you're still here to talk about it is an accomplishment.
Yes, sir. I told my mother, y'all trying to kill Ms. D. Y'all trying to kill me. That's
right.
How I felt.
Right.
My goodness.
And so there are a lot of good people who work under the assumption that if it don't come, that's what a songwriter said, may not come when you want it, but he's always. Somebody say always. Right
on
time.
On time.
And,
I get my little spiritual from y'all.
Well, praise God. Praise God. I think at the end of the day, as we talk straight about urban American circumstances. Now, y'all know Outkast. Did you see any of Aretha Franklin's funeral?
Oh, I couldn't watch
No.
Okay, all right. And I was just wondering if you saw any of the backlash that came. What was sad to me is that the woman was being laid to rest, and the attention became on controversy and not her, you know.
You know, they tried to make a issue out of every statement that was made, including statement
that,
that
woman on there. You
Donald
saw
Trump
that that
stated.
Woman that was taken. What happens? They said she did something.
Let her go ahead.
I'm sorry, I need to interrupt you. I know what you're talking about, sir. That's why I was saying that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I don't remember the lady's name, but I've seen it all over Facebook. They made it like a
Ariana, this little girl, this young lady, a singer, was on the stage, and they claimed the preacher grabbed her breast. But more importantly, the eulogist is what I was most concerned with, because I heard so much about it, and sometimes you hear these things, you don't know what's true and what's false, you know. But the sad thing is that a powerful message was lost because it came at the wrong time, perhaps, and in the wrong way. And at the end of the day, those that could have benefited from it the most missed out on it. Now, I only brought that up because there are a lot of us who live a whole life, and we offer certain things to humanity, and the slightest thing can override your greatest work. I see why the text says, let not your good be evil spoken of. You know, because there are so many good people who do good things. But the rest of our lives catch up with us, our reputation. And folks hold up against you, and people start to, you know, to start claiming here and there. Don, turn your radio down. You on the phone with me, Don? I can hear your background noise,
yep.
Don.
Okay, right. Hold on.
Welcome to Talk Straight. We appreciate you joining us, man. I can hear whatever your background noise is.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you. Welcome. One second, then I'll be right with you. And at the end of the day, the best thing that we can offer becomes shadowed by things that are really not important. And it makes you wonder, what's the point, right? What is the point? So, Don,
yes,
we're
sir.
Talking from the topic, how to catch your struggle by the horn and to overcome.
Well,
what
let him answer
that,
it.
Doc?
You asked him, Pastor, let him answer it because I want to hear this.
Who is it, Don?
Please, no, the other one you was talking to.
Oh, Brother Outcast. Outcast, you want to respond to this?
I don't have a response to it, you know. Really, I wouldn't ask that question. You know, I follow certain things I don't. I didn't look at the film. I only heard bits and pieces when it came to Trump's statement that he made. You know, they turned it to a political arena or whatever, you know. But at the end of the day, what it is what it is, you know. You know, you have a platform, and once the platform is set, everyone that has the axe to grind, basically they get on there, you know, and they grind their axe.
They grind their axe.
Political or whatever. Yeah,
I think they did an overkill.
Grind their axe, you know, simple as that.
I think they did an overkill, like you said, for political reasons and money and all that. I think they took the highlight off of Miss Aretha Franklin, which is my girl, as a singer and an artist. But I think they took it away from her funeral and they did an overkill on it.
Exactly.
Well, and we can't bring Aretha. Yeah, well, I hear you. We can't bring Aretha back. I guess more than anything else, the real issue here is that even when we have our own personal struggles, oftentimes things that are not really important have a tendency to overshadow what is. Now let's talk about for a second. Let's talk about the struggle of young people today in urban America and the horns that are sticking them and pricking them in the side. One of them is the fact that they haven't been properly taught or prepared to develop their lives. I gave you an idea of what biological science say some of the characteristics of a living being. And I can hear your background noise, whoever that is. And one of them is to provide nourishment for yourself, to develop yourself as another, and to make repairs or corrections when you need to. Our babies don't have that. So So the last characteristic that deems the conversation about your lifespan too often is short. Now, I'm not saying all of them don't have that because my children got it, but I'm speaking of those who don't. Here's the evidence for what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
When we look at court dockets, we look at individuals who are locked up, we look at the vital statistics of those who have died in the streets. And we look at those in mental hospitals. We look at people who are in the hospital for physical harm and damage. That's the evidence of what I'm talking about. Somebody hadn't prepared them to stay out of trouble. Go ahead, Outcast. What were you going to say?
Oh, nothing. I'll just agree with you. But, you know, now I would say that a big part of America is waking up, and I'm not only talking about the blacks, I'm talking about the whites also.
Well,
a big part
too.
Of America is waking up. You know, I would listen to what I call it crap myself, you know, basically all that. But what I'm going to say was a crap. She was supposed to be this minister, was talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and things of that nature. He gave his opinion on that. He said, talking about Black Lives Matter. Well, we say all the time that blacks need to stop killing blacks. You know, and, you know, you got your little host, you know, he had to come in calling the minister a butthole because he was talking about praying and stuff like that, and he mentioned jobs and things of that nature. Yeah, You can bring jobs. You can offer jobs. But a lot of them are not going to take those jobs. Schooling is free. They don't want no schooling. And for this so-called host, you know, which I really don't even just listen to him no way because he just, he's really foolish to me. What he was saying to Esther is, no, don't stop the blacks from killing blacks. Let them keep on killing black and keep killing each other.
He said that.
No, no. In essence, in reality, this is what he was saying.
Oh, somebody else.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to call no names, but, you know, this is part of the problem, Reverend Docker. You know, he mentioned jobs. Yes, he mentioned education. There are schools around everywhere. A lot of them don't want schooling. A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't want a job. They want to continue doing what they're doing. But see, idiots like him, he perpetuates the situation. Oh, it's all right. So in reality, what he was saying is, leave alone. Let them keep killing each other. And here you are, black man.
Wow.
That's ludicrous.
Wow. Yeah. And you know what it is? Hold 1 second, Don. I'm coming right to you, Don. What it really is, Outcast, is because this fella, whoever he was, don't want to confront the reality. You got to tell these young cats to change, that he makes excuses for them. And it makes it easy for them to think it's okay and normal to keep on doing that.
Exactly.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem. That's a big problem. Let me go to Don. Go ahead, Don. What are we going to say, bro?
Mr. Dockery, you from Chicago, and guess what? I was listening to what the sister even said about Oprah. I mean, about Aretha. And I'm going to say something to you, Mr. Dockery. I'm very close within that movement. And guess what? I hate for my family and folk around me shy away from it, what she was talking about. And we're talking about this Negro that set Dr. King up. And why is the federal government constantly giving him money to come out of Chicago? And another thing I got a problem with people in Chicago, and I'm talking about Miss Jesse Jackson. Hold on, I got to get with you now, because I've been up there with you. See, I've been to Chicago with you. You come out of Chicago with that mess and thinking you got something, and it ain't nothing. So I'm born in the country. So what your sister was talking about, we tired of looking at Miss Messy and NBC and CBS putting Miss Messy before us. We don't need mess.
It's
just the argument me and my dad had every day, Mr. Dockery.
I'm tired of
the mess. And that's what the sister's talking about. And guess what? Aretha was very close to my dad. C.L. Franklin was very close to my dad.
All right. Because
we have personal talks about that. But I'm sick and tired of this monkey leadership. Hold on, Mr. Dockery. Because what you don't understand, Mr. Dockery, as we're talking on iPod, there was a network down here that was hooked up with him. Now they don't even have a radio program.
Wow.
And you're changing something by having an iPod.
All right. Well, Don, I just wanted to, you're speaking about your dad, and I wanted to make sure all of our listening audience understood who you were making reference to. That's all. And so let me take a minute.
And guess what, Mr. Dockery? And all the brothers that's ministers know what that is, and you should have been broke that up.
All right, Don, let me introduce the audience.
Because I'm going to tell you this, Ms. Dockery, that's a sore in our community.
Calm down, baby.
It ain't time to calm down. Anytime you see him before the public, that's an eyesore to our community.
All right, Don.
That man killed Dr. King. Why he ain't in jail? Everybody else go to jail.
Don, hold on one second, Don. Allow me to let everybody, bring everybody up to speed on where you are, okay? He's talking about James Luther Bevel, who worked with Dr. King with SCLC and the Civil Rights Movement. That's what he's talking about, okay? And he's talking about the fact that C.L. Franklin and these other men worked in that whole circle. So they were very close. That's what he's making reference to. Now, Don, there are a lot of things out there, and what I don't want to get into on this talk show tonight is about charging folks and putting people in jail because I don't have a jail to put nobody in. All right? I hear your frustration. I get that. But I don't have a jailbreak.
Well, then, Mr. Dockery, some of you brothers that's younger than me, don't put no damn badge on me trying to arrest me when you got a nigga that old that was in on Dr. King assassination. So y'all must be out of your mind. I'm 58. You younger than me. My brother younger than me. Y'all run around here putting your brothers in jail, and the first one should have went to jail was Jesse.
You know I'm not going to lock you up, Don. No, I'm not going to lock you up.
That's where I see that.
Hey, but let's stay on that topic. About
that's the only thing I'm going to say.
All right, I appreciate that. I want you to stay with us, brother, but we can't lose the rest.
I'm right here with you now.
Okay, all right.
Hey, let me say something, Pastor Doctor.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor.
Check this out. You know, I'm going to step up into the word for a minute, and so we won't get loose, and so we won't scatter. Words say, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, that we be in the midst. So he's going to be in the midst of us if we on one accord. So let's get on one accord and let one talk at a time and be able to train and discipline our way of doing things personally, because, Pastor Docker, you officiating the show, and we need to follow your lead right now. So I appreciate Brother Don and what you have to say, but let Pastor Dockery instruct us in which way we should go right now.
All right.
Okay, back in your hand, Pastor Dockery.
Thank you, sir. And so I appreciate that, Pastor. And so really what I want us to focus on is the idea that, as we were talking about earlier, in life, it's natural that we'll have some challenges. We're going to have some struggles. And I was talking about the young men who find themselves 18 and older, and it seems like the whole world expect them to have it all together, have all the proper answers, and be prepared to make a meaningful contribution while sustaining themselves. And they're ill, not all of them, but too many of them are ill-prepared. What all the national data and statistics say in education and mental health and social indication and economic indication is that there are too many that are not prepared. Now, how do we get them to catch a hold to their situation and turn that around? That's really where the conversation is germane.
May I say something, Brother Pastor, please?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Go ahead.
Don't have all the answers, but the technique that I had as a single parent, and they know where their dad is. My point is, I used to have to put that fear. You know, like our moms used to say, put the fear of God in them.
Okay.
And in order for you to do that, that's why he gave us a mother and a father. It takes two parents to raise their child or children.
Okay.
And it takes a village to raise a family, as we spoke about so many times. And when you catch one running wild, if you can by chance, if is a big word to be so little, grab a hold of them, brace them, and get them to go the other direction, which is what I think you guys are striving for now. It's not. I keep saying it's not going to be easy, but each and every day, maybe some one of us may say something they want to hear.
Absolutely.
And if we do that, I think that'll be the beginning of a big struggle.
Okay. Great point. And that's really where I was going to bring us into, Mama D. And that is to let young people know that you are a living being. This is not a dream, and it doesn't have to be a nightmare.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
And as a human being, as a living entity, there is a way. This is what Pastor Wilder talks about all the time. There is a way for you to avoid certain traps and snares that will get you caught up in a way that you cannot be in control of your life, and your struggle will become, they will overcome you. That's what he talks about all the time. I appreciate that. And that's my whole point. That's why I introduced those six characteristics of a living thing. Because there are some people, would you believe it? There's some good people, young folks, and some old people, too. That's what the old ones who really don't believe their life. And, you know, to them, they're just floating in time. Just floating in time. And if it were not for certain government programs
right.
and the kindness of other people, they would probably just, you'll probably find them somewhere dead in an abandoned building or something.
Like you guys said, yes, sir, I respect y'all so much for that. Y'all don't even know.
I mean,
yeah.
So it's sad, but it's real. Pastor, when I was doing a workshop in Chicago a couple of years ago, this lady, she said, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. And I lied to you or not. She walked me to an abandoned building over there in parts of Chicago near King Drive. And literally, there were about four or five different spots where a catch was laying because the project, housing project had been torn down.
Yeah.
So they were just
yeah.
They were literally homeless. She says what they do is they come and they lay down here at night and they keep their things in this building. Then they come out and on the streets all day long until they have to, and this is where they come to lay. I say, wow, man, that's deep right there.
Lord, have mercy, but it's so real. Mm.
It was
shocking to
so
you.
Pastor, can you appreciate why a young person would be so angry under those circumstances? Let me go to Pastor for a second.
Yeah, I mean, if you strip someone from the foundation of the peace and the freedom and the joy and the togetherness in a community, and then you scatter them, and it's always designed by purpose. You know, we were talking about preparation earlier, preparation on how to teach and prepare you know, our people to learn that it's all right to walk in togetherness. And so when you strip a person or people from that foundation, it causes us to scatter. And so I can appreciate knowing that the survival skit at that point, at that time, it comes, you know, like they bring it to the table. No shame in their game. They're laying down and you're watching in the location where it seems like they should have a shelter. They should have refuge somewhere, but they land on the streets, wherever they can land their head. You know how this song says, you know, Papa was a rolling stone, wherever he lay his hat, that was his home. I mean, people are on the street, man. You know, and they don't even have a refuge right there where I'm at in the midst of what I do now. There are people that are not there. I'm not calling them homeless, but I call them survivors. Man. I mean, they're survivors, man. I mean, they really have a joy. You know, one guy I see all the time, man, this is what he say every time I see him. And he always say, another day blessed, Brother Ricky. You know, that's what he say, man. I mean, he don't shy away from that. And he don't have no fancy car. He don't have no home where he can go in and cut the lights on and off and, you know, running water and things like that. But he's a stone survivor. And his very words when he see me on another day, he said, another day blessed, Brother Ricky. And that's just awesome to be able to say that. 8112 and something like that. When he said it to me, it gives me a kick, you know, like being grateful and gratitude be, you know, so right before me. Because
and
he's
humble.
Evidence of what survival is all about, you know. So, it wouldn't pay for me to have a whole lot of money because I'm the one that would make sure that I offered him whether he took it or not.
I love that.
Buying an apartment, a new car, something like that. But I would offer him that because he taught me something. He's teaching me something that he's not pretending to be grateful about another day. He asking me what he said.
He was humble.
Yes, he's very humble. Yes, he is.
And he thanks the good Lord that I'm here another day to every pain, my trials and tribulations as they spoke.
How you going to be humble?
As the other pastor.
Mr. Docker.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
When we say humble, listen to this, Mr. Docker. Billions of dollars worth of contracts was messed up by another, like you were talking about Chicago. I lived in Chicago. I stayed in one of the best housing that I could say in Chicago downtown. The room I rented was $150. It had a bed, it had a cabinet, it had a brand new stove, refrigerator. That's when I was in the Morris Divine National Movement. They had great housing up there.
But what did that have to do
with
when
you talk to me now, guess what, Mr. Dockery? I'm listening.
Hold on one second.
Now, guess what? I don't see that in the South, but I experienced that in Chicago.
What that had to do from your humbleness, from your heart? Humbleness comes from God.
Okay, hold on one second.
We understand that, but guess what?
With your money that you have.
Hold on one second, Diane. Go ahead, Don. What were you saying? Relate that to what
I was saying, that when I was in Chicago and I wrecked my pickup truck, Mr. Dockery, I stayed in one of the best apartments, and it was downtown.
Got it.
It was one bedroom. It had a bed. It had a sofa. I haven't experienced that in the South, but I experienced that in Chicago.
I get you. But what Diane wants to know is, how does that relate to those who don't have that option that you're talking about in Chicago and around urban America? What she want to know from you, and I'm gonna let her ask it in her own words. I want you to listen to her for a second. Is how does that relate to you, as Pastor Waller was saying, learning to humble yourself, even despite the struggle? Will you answer that for her? And when it gets to Diane, then you can respond to it. Go ahead, Diane. Answer that for her, please.
Mr. Dockery, when we define the word humble,
you keep talking
humble
about
to me, you know, be appreciative whatever Diane. Anybody do, and really be appreciative what God do for you every day. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to be appreciate that he even woke you up.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
All right. I get you. All right. Now, hold on, Don. Let Diane respond to you. Go ahead, Diane. You got the floor.
My point to you is this, sir. Don. I'm going to call you sir because I hate calling people by their first name when I don't know them like that. But understand this. There are so many young kids out here, relatives, so-called friends, children, everybody, cousins, nephews, nieces, uncles, and even some aunties, don't have what you were speaking upon, to get a hotel room. They sleep in cardboard boxes. They live under bridges. They drink dirty water. These children are the one I'm talking about that need some help. And humbleness is because they share the glory of God with some of them. And the humbleness comes in that they say, I thank you, like Pastor Wallace said, for seeing another day. That's where humbleness comes from. It don't come about what you accomplish as far as getting a dollar. Humbleness comes from your heart and your Holy Spirit. Let me shut up now. All right,
well, Don, you want to respect what you want to respond, and we'll keep it moving.
Well, and when she said about young folk, I'm 58 years old. And I look at Kayla over against Stephen. Stephen's up there in Chicago.
Who is Kayla?
He's 32.
Who is Kayla? Who is Kayla?
And listen, Miss Doc, I want you to listen to me. The young guys, to me, that's up under me, if they want to learn, they can learn. That's on them. Miss Doc, I came from Tennessee, and I went to Chicago. I went into Morris Divine National Movement. They stayed out
on
there and went in the game. That's because they choose that. See, sometimes we young boys choose that.
I'm
an old country boy from Tennessee. I went there and sat down and listened to Brother Bonzeal. Someone went out there and wanted a game bang. That's what they wanted to do.
All right. Don, hold one second. Let Outkast respond to you. Go ahead, Outkast.
Well, I really didn't even want to break over into that, but I do have to agree with Don on that. You know, I had a brother, you know, lazy, didn't want to do nothing. You know, he run around there sleeping and trying to sleep in missions and stuff like that. You know, I mean, he had a good profession, laying bricks. But guess where he is now? In the penitentiary with three life sentences. Mm. You know, I think I told you once I was going to fight him about that behavior that he had. Every time I was going to do it, my other siblings would stop me. And see, when he got those three life sentences, I told him, I said, no, y'all should have been letting me did what I did. You have choices. Now these little children, 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old, you know, I don't agree with that. That is wrong. And whoever their parent is, the mother or whatever, they should have it had it together. When they were going to tear those projects down, these guys. You stated, Reverend Dockery, when this woman was talking to you, she took you to the place and she let you saw what they're doing. Now, mental illness come in on a whole lot of this also.
Absolutely.
You know, pay a big deal in this. But the thing is this, at the end of the day, I have to agree with Don. If you want to get it, you're going to get it. Because if you're going to get it one way or the other, and you'll get it like my brother, that's up there in Northeast Tennessee with them being lazy and trifling in our whole race.
Can I share something with you, though?
Yes, sir.
When you take a human being who has to eat, who has to adapt to the environment, and all they know to do is to get over. I'm going to use that expression, just to get over. What I mean by that is they become accustomed and used to allowing somebody else to perpetually be a provider for them, their mom and their daddy. And when they're forced to have to be a provider for themselves, they come as a culture shock for them. Now they're scared, they're irritable, and they feel like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And you almost have to whoop their behind to get them to do anything. But look at the variables, though, Outcast. And that's what I really mean when I talk about these struggles by the horn. The truth of the matter is, don't think you're going to grab a bull and he ain't going to sling your behind.
Oh, yeah.
That dog ain't going to hunt. Bring your lunch with you. Bring your lunch with you.
You know, I mean, right. I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this conversation, you know, I mean, it's kind of touchy, but at the end of the day, we are all responsible for ourselves in a sense, and I do agree with you. You ought to be trained. Now, like my brother, he was trained, but he was just lazy and trifling, talking about he living off the land. Man, you got a skill. You got a trade. You know? Now you're for the rest of your life with two hots and a wedge. They're going to give you three meals, Mother Fruit Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're going to give you two. Now he's ringing the phone off the hook crying and things of that nature. But again, what they were doing, my siblings and my older sisters, they perpetuated this situation. And I kept telling them to stop it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Now, let me be quiet on that. But I agree with Don. But now, these little children, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, and
they don't know no better.
That is wrong and totally wrong. They shouldn't be on the street, period. And whoever their parent is, they should have locked them up. And I'm done.
Wow. Well.
And they do lock a lot of them. It's called child neglect.
Well,
but you got to find them first to lock them up and allow them to go undiscovered.
That's true. That's right. And so what happens is, Mama D, is that the courts oftentimes are very hesitant to use the leverage of locking them up because they know if we take them away from them, we lock them up, you know, child ain't got too many other people. You know what I mean? Now what I think it speaks to, guys, is the greater Pastor Waller need for us collect as all of us as a whole to realize we've got to change our mindset and value system on how we define and develop our family structure. See, now the truth of the matter is it was never the Creator's will for a woman to have to raise children by herself or a man. But unfortunately, there are circumstances. There are circumstances, and many times we bring them on ourselves. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to step into a role, Pastor Waller. If I were to go out there and make a bunch of babies, and I know good and well now, I had no intentions on taking care of them. Somebody's going to take care of the babies. Is that right, Pastor Waller?
Oh, it is. I mean, especially if you knew, you know what I mean? As you say, you went out and you automatically knew. And there's that that's where choices come in at, you know. And I hear it. When one have a choice, that's one thing, because it does say choose you this and who you will serve. And when you get captured into a trap, you cannot want to stay in the trap all you want to. But when you captured by it, you have to abide by the order.
Who told you could have prepared for this thing, and it happened, and you didn't accept responsibility for it. It ain't all about no woman when y'all get through talking.
Well, wait a minute, Diane. Wait a minute, Diane. Let him finish.
Correct
listen
me
to what
if
he
I'm
saying.
Wrong, sir.
All right, Diane, listen to what he's saying. Let him finish. Listen to what he's saying.
I'm
then we'll come right back
well.
To you.
I love you. Go ahead.
You all right? You all right? Just in general, you know, talking about, you know, the people, for example, I was sharing about this brother that would say, another blessed day, Brother Ricky. And I was saying, if I had the finances that I used to have, I'm saying this in a humble way, I would offer to him. Now, whether he would accept it and what he would do with it would be on him. He may not
right.
want a partner.
That's true.
He may not
That's
want
true.
A nice car to get to work and go places. But he'd do a whole lot of work. He actually walks around and clean up the whole neighborhood by himself. He won't ask nobody to help him. You know, when he'll go around and pick up all the trash, he'll go around, oh, my lot. He'll pick it up over there. He'll go over there. When you know the trash man is coming, like tomorrow is Wednesday, and he's coming. He go around
okay.
the whole neighborhood in the area that he's in. So he do a lot of work, right? Check this
yeah.
out.
Right.
He still have that humble approach to everything in life. And I can even imagine, you know, having an opportunity to offer him something like that and see if he want to get off the street. Brother, would you like to get off the street, man? Here, I'll pay your rent for 6 months or 3 months. I don't know what he would probably do. Would he take that and say, I appreciate it, or he would say, thank you, I'm all right the way I'm doing it. Oh, man, you just don't know. It's amazing just to talk of it, though. It all come down to choice. You make sure you say no. And you make sure you say, I appreciate it and take it. You know? So just so happened I don't have a bankroll. I can't offer it to him right now. But, man, hey, I'm going to have him on the phone one day. One day I'm going to put him on, Pastor Doctor. I'm just going to get him to say those words.
Yes,
I would do that because I see him quite often. So when I'm over in the area on the Tuesday, Thursday, I will actually, you know, get him to just come on and then ask him a question. Why are you so happy?
But Pastor Russ, may I say this? In reality, what if somebody said you're going to join this gang? That's why my mom went to Peoria, you know. Some reason why. You're going to join this gang, and once we initiate you, you cannot get out. Because if we don't kill you, we going to kill some of your family members. So what then? That's, people are approach with this everyday kids.
Say it.
Now
say
what you got to say about that? I'm sure y'all know something about that.
I can tell you a little something about that. Yeah. Go ahead, Alcan. Go ahead.
But see, the thing is this. A lot of people, they complain about the environment that they're in. Gang infested and things in that nature. If I had children and I was in an environment like that, you know what I would do? I'd move to another state. But a lot of people,
I just said that's
what
my mom
like
did
to
protect my brother.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. Finish your thought. Go ahead. You got the floor.
No, I will listen to her. And I'm listening.
No. Go ahead and finish your thought. I'm curious to hear what I would do.
If a city or a county does not provide me the normal things that I need, I would find me another county or another city to go in. You know, but a lot of people, they just lie and lie and lie and lie in that same spot and complain. Sometimes it's time to get up and move on and be a better, you know, like you, Reverend Doctor, you know, you live states, different states. Like I have. If Davidson County could not provide me with the essential things that I need in order to live, food, water, and shelter, I pack up and move on. I go to higher ground.
Interesting.
I wouldn't be like the people, you know, like down on the Gulf Coast. Man, hurricane, y'all. Okay. You in hurricane, alligator, tornado, whatever. You gonna stay there? You talking about rebuilding? No. Pick
right.
up and move to high ground. This is what you have to do.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right.
I'll talk to
right.
I'm listening.
My mom
did what you talked about. She moved to take my brothers out of harm's way. And
there
she moved
go.
From Chicago, Illinois, mind you. And I think she did well, hell of a job, because if they had stayed there, they was trying to initiate them in gangs. And she raised these young men back then by herself. And guess what happened?
Right.
It turned out to be some pretty damn good men in life.
Okay. Hold
and they still
about.
Is the ones that still living. Yes, sir. That's what I was trying to say. I didn't mean to interrupt you And I appreciate
okay.
what you said.
No, you're fine. We're on the same page. So
I wanted to respond to the gang thing, Zaya. Now, yes, the gangs get a lot of attention and
mm-hmm.
have a tendency to stroke fear in a lot of people.
Yes,
but
sir.
Can I tell you something about the head of the gang?
Please do. I don't know none of them.
If you take a switchblade and you cut them,
they're going to bleed.
If you take a stick and you smack them across the head,
they're going
to
bruise.
To the white meat, they're going to bleed.
That's right.
Because they're human. The problem is, listen to me now, and watch this. If you catch them when they ain't with their group, and when they don't have a bunch of weapons on them, you can pump them out. Listen to me. You can pump them out because they're no better or stronger than their group. That's why they're with the group, because they're too weak to stand on their own.
Now, my other brothers taught me that. Now, I know that much.
Yeah.
Catch the baddest one in the crowd, whoop his ass. Ooh.
Well, let's keep it clean. Mama Diane, let's keep it clean.
I'm sorry.
No, seriously. You got a group of guys standing on the block. The one that opens his mouth, he the set out. So you go to the quietest one, and you rearrange, you know, his teeth for him a little bit. The rest of them going to fall in line.
Let me
just say that I'm not advocating violence. I'm simply explaining that this concept of a gang is not as big as, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting you walk up into a firefight with some young guys. Most of them don't even know how to control a pistol.
Yeah.
You know? but the truth of the matter is, that's why so many innocent people get killed. Because you got babies running around with pistols and what have you. But when you understand that, just like the bull, Mama D, one thing about the bull is, the bull is only responding out of anger. And when you catch somebody in a fear, anger and a fear, it's easier for you to manipulate them. Because they're not thinking straight. That's the same concept right there.
I thank you for that, and I appreciate that because you are evidence.
Let me go to Al-Cast for a second.
Wait,
Al-Cast.
As I say, my concept is always this: cowards and cowardice running packs.
That's right.
Sir, he ain't lying.
And untamed animals, Al-Cast. Running fast.
Yes, sir.
Now,
right.
What a lot of good young people, Pastor Wilder, miss out on is the character building that says, if you are a brick in a structure, and as a single brick, you cannot maintain your own integrity, you're not fit for the builder's use. Every brick has got to be able to be solid and balanced enough to maintain his own integrity. Very simply, if you got a building, every brick that you use to build your building has to be able to maintain by itself first before it goes in the building.
Wow.
And that's where our babies are missing that instruction. So when life comes, and they're hit by different things, their struggles, they don't know how to deal with them. Now, here's the sad part about it. We wait until they get to be 18, 19, 20 years old before we expect them to display responsibility.
You got to teach them from the root to the tootle.
There you go.
I was just saying, this is why when you look at the new, some of them 18 and 25 on their way to the penitentiary.
That's it.
You know, that, you know, they're getting younger because they didn't have that brick.
Right.
That foundation,
right.
Those instructions, I hold.
Yeah.
Pastor Wallace. Pastor Wallace.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
you,
right.
You know one of the first – I'm sorry, go ahead, Pastor.
No, go ahead. Come listen.
Now, I was just going to say, and I'll turn it over to you. One of the first lessons that I never will forget watching my son learn, and that is when he was potty training, how to take his diaper
and take it up
and wrap it up and dispose of it properly.
Mm.
Then go wash his hands.
Yes.
Now, some people say that's up to the parent to do. Yeah, most of the time. But guess what? You're teaching him to clean his own, clean up behind himself.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, are y'all walking with me?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
training.
Correct.
Good training.
And anywhere he go in the world, he'll understand that if I make a mess, I have to get rid of some waste material, it's my responsibility to clean up behind myself.
Yes,
nobody
else. I like that. And that's true. As a mother, that's necessary.
When we create environments like that,
put it in the bag and throw it away.
Well, I mean, it's grown folk today walk up to you and leave a pile of stuff. Everybody else to deal with.
You are right.
Huh?
You are right.
And get mad at you. Get mad at you if you ask to clean up behind yourself.
Get mad at you, not me.
Yeah, you know the word says is by those who say such things. It says for bad company corrupts good character.
Wow.
Pastor, look at Pastor Wallace.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes,
yes, sir, Don. Hold on, Dad. Go ahead, Don.
Today when I came to work, I goes back in the cooler, and the brother that owns this store, he's from Yemen. Where his wife is in the back. So I goes in the cooler. She comes straight back and go back in the office. It didn't hurt my feelings because you know why, Mr. Dockery? I had the same experience with Sister Bonzeal in Chicago at the Morris Divine National Movement.
Okay, what was that?
How to respect your husband when certain things ain't right in the position. You understand what I'm saying? It's the principles that you teach the children, like you said, at a young age. And what's going on in our community, since I'm in the Morris Divine National Movement, Mr. Dockery, see, I'm after you brothers in the lodge anyway. When you mention the word character, listen, Mr. Dockery, character begin with identity. If you ain't got no identity and nationality, you can't have no character.
I got you. Don, let me respond to you. Can I respond to you?
I ain't got you.
Yeah, I want you to respond to me on that.
You, Don's so deep, sometimes you ain't going to catch him, Don, but that's okay. Let me respond to you, Don. Let me respond to you. Watch this, Don. Wisdom, Don, is the principal thing. Okay? Therefore, get wisdom. And with all your get, make sure you understand. See, some people, Don, they don't understand. They just hear. Are you walking with me, Don? They're just here.
I agree.
And one of the reasons they're just here is because they never learn to operate within order. That's where that word principle come in. A principle is a order. If you don't learn to be in order, that takes discipline. You're right. You have to have character. And your character is developed through a process of discipline. If you lack that, guess what? You're never going to learn anything from any experience you went through, and you'll never have understanding. You can be 75 years old and still don't understand nothing.
Wow.
That's deep, but it's real, dog. That's deep. Well, I mean,
you would think
that after you live a certain period of time, you learn something, right? But
that's
Miss Mama D, I got a saying I always say, ain't nothing worse than a fool than an old fool. Because the old fool had plenty of time to get his stuff together.
Wisdom and knowledge.
Yeah.
You done tore me down. I ain't lying. That was deep. That was very deep. I like it.
Well, bless your heart. Bless your heart. We
we're talking, unless you just tune in with us, we're talking from the topic, how to catch your struggle like a horn and overcome them. They're going to come. We've all had them, and guess what? Even though we're working hard, we're likely to have them again. But at the end of the day, if you stop and you realize that everything is not going to come at once, and you got to work yourself through it, guess what? You can do it. You can do it. The darkest part of the day is at midnight. Mm. Now, Outkast, I ain't no country boy, but I've been out in the country.
I
found out that where they ain't got these lights and modern day amenities and what have you, out there in the country,
yeah,
where all you hear is the birds and the other little bugs and insects whistling in your ear and what have you.
Lightning bugs.
You said trees, sir.
Huh?
You said trees. I heard you.
Yeah, the trees.
Lightning bugs.
You
ain't no light out there. All you got is lightning bugs.
I like
that. See, Don, a country boy, he knows what I'm talking about. The darkest part of the day is at night. The good thing is knowing that if you hold still when you can't see and you can't move, the Bible said, work while it is yet day, because when night comes, no man. I didn't come to preach, but I felt something right there.
I appreciate it. I want to hear it.
What we have to learn is teach young and old to use their time wisely. Work while it's day, where you can see your way. Ecclesiastes says, remember now the Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days, Pastor Waller, are not all up on you. Because when the evil days come, you get tired, you get weary. Your eyes start to close on you. Are y'all walking with me? You start feeling all kind of pain and aches and what have you. You ain't got no youthful enthusiasm anymore.
Right.
And you find yourself slowing down because you're moving closer and closer to the truth. That man that is born of a woman is only of a few days. And the Bible said he's full of trouble. Huh?
Yeah, man.
I didn't want to preach or nothing like that, but I know that's right.
Now.
I know I'm right about that. I know I'm right about that.
I believe I have my own interest. That's the world is spirit beings, but I'm saying you about to die some stuff.
Well,
up in here.
Mama D, one day we're going to learn that in urban America, the solution to our problems is right in front of us.
I live in urban America. I already know this, sir.
Well,
I know.
Some people don't.
Every problem, there is a solution. Sometimes it takes a little longer for you to figure it out than what you expect.
Mama D.
I'm on here with a bunch of men. Y'all think y'all going to punk me? I don't think so.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Pastor Wall and I will tell you that there are some good people who don't know, Mama D, what we're talking about. It seems like a common sense.
I agree with what you're saying. I'm just using a different angle. I'm smart in my own way.
Okay.
I'm using a different tactic. I'm going to urban America on you.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm talking
about urban America. That's where I'm going with that.
You know,
I'm going to urban America on y'all because I know you guys got your degrees and everything else. I ain't got no degrees in psychology, but I am a professional in what I do. What I do is I do what I do. I live one day to another. I talk to people each and every day by the grace of God, as long as he blessed me to do so. Therefore, I'm religious myself. I understand all that. understand what everybody talking about, and I respect that, including you. And I love you like that, because you and Pastor Wallace and I don't want to call him by his wrong name. I understand
okay.
what everybody's saying.
Don't
call
just, don't just call him Ludacris like you normally do. That'd be fine.
That's what I said. That's what I didn't want to do. I ain't want to do that, bitch. So that's why I said the other one.
Don't
you care about that. Yes, sir. And then Miss Stein be on there. And I respect every one of y'all, and I commend y'all for the things you are saying on Pastor Green's radio station. And Pastor Wallace still in with Pastor River Camp. I like that. I like that. That's why
Thank
I get
you.
Back on here. I like rubbing my mouth.
You know we appreciate you. We appreciate you. I get a little chatty sometimes, but you just bear with me, okay? Just bear with me. I get a little chatty sometimes. But at the end of the day, we got a few minutes. My phone looks like it's about to go out on me. If it goes out on the gas, it's a charge to my head and not to my heart. So at the end of the day, let's wrap it up like this. We got 8 minutes, Pastor Wallace. And I want you to say something to this question, Pastor Wallace. It's possible for us to have success. Can we agree on that? Can we all agree on that? Success is possible. It's not impossible. It's just that we got to change the way we do some things. Pastor, will you talk to me about how is it that life become a challenge? How can life, something that is natural, challenge you? Pastor?
Yeah, well, that's a good question there, too, you know, and how to become successful. See, that's the difference between good success and just being successful. Because when you put God first, success follows. And that's a form of good, you know. And I said earlier about the word of God, what it spoke, you know, it says, don't be fooled by those who say such things. For bad company corrupts good character. But it didn't stop there. It says, think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. For to your shame, I say that some of you don't know God at all. Then that's some. So if you know God and you know you're having good success, then you should be in a great example for the person that don't know God, you know, meaning that you're not delivering them, you're just walking up right before them. That's the reason why you're looking for good examples now that can provide us with what we need to be able to be successful in our neighborhood, in our community, in our schools, in our churches, in our homes. So we assemble ourselves together, you see the power of the love coming back. You can see the power of the peace coming back. Things that we definitely need day by day, you know. And that's the form of success for me, because what I was doing, Pastor Dockery, years ago, that wasn't good success. It was success, but it wasn't good success. I mean, I was living each day for the week. Every day was a weekend for me. You know, that was as I heard my partner say, try to tell Mother Diane to say this to her, you know, to him, calling him a certain name. But that's what I was when I was out in the street, outcast. I mean, I was just like insane, man, thinking that I was having success, you know, and that wasn't success, man. That was doing harm, you know, corrupting communities and things like that. Evil communication, man, and that's what I was bringing to the table. So, but today, since I've been restored, you know, it's only fair for me to say, okay, I can't live that way before people anymore. Now I got to learn how to walk upright. You see, the word says no good thing without the hope from them who walk upright, who's striving, you know, and that's the difference of having good success. Don't have to have a dime, but still, you know what I mean? Good success has to do with how you're walking according to, is God first, success followed, and that's the order.
Wow. Wow. Well said. Well said. I mean, so the good news is, Don, you there with me, Don?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don, don't give up on us, because there is yet hope. And we have to patiently approach those who lack the hope that still is there for. That makes sense to you, Don?
It does. Mr. Doc, you know, I just came from home. I just came from Tennessee. And I had two cousins that I'm with Facebook with, and they are males.
Okay.
One of my cousins with the Nation of Islam there, he was there when Mr. Majid, he sent me a recording over the Facebook showing me what the Moors invented. The other cousin who lives out in the country, he sends me a DVD or on the Facebook where this cardinal is talking to us about the actual day of worship.
Okay.
And what I'm saying to the brothers that are there that are in the Nashville area, we do need to be on one accord, because guess what? Those elements that's in Nashville, they are watching to see, are we divided or are we together?
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Everybody's not part of the Nation of Islam, more Science Temple. Everybody's not Christian. Everybody's not Jewish. Irregardless of what your experience is or your faith is, the reality is we're all human beings. And if you if you don't maintain yourself, you'll die. Huh?
That's right.
And as I offered at the beginning of the show, there are characteristics of a living being. And anytime you lose those characteristics, you're moving toward death and destruction. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
That's true.
How to catch your struggle by the horns and overcome. This has been Talk Straight. We got about 3 minutes, and my phone that I am on here, it looked like the battery is about to go out. So if it go out, y'all don't hold. Don't be mad at me. Just come back Thursday, 7 o'clock. let's get a final thought from everybody, and then we'll probably get on out of here. Outcast, you want to start us off, big brother?
Well, yeah, I'm going to go back to my brother. You know what he told me when I went to visit him in that county jail? He said, bruh, you was right. That's what you kept on saying. You was on and you was running up on everybody else. And then he started crying. Fake now.
Yeah.
Fake now. Yeah. And I just hold up.
All right. Praise we appreciate that. Don, give us the final thought, man, right quickly.
I think that we're on the right track. I'm going to say something to y'all again. I think the iPod conversation from Nashville is right on time. I met a brother today saying that certain elements done stopped in Selma, so they are picking up on us. And Nashville is the central. It is the Athens of the South. Don't forget that. And there's certain code words they use in the South.
Okay.
Nashville, Athens of the South, Selma's the queen city. So we have to be very clear what we are doing and what our goals are as we have this iPod conversation.
Gotcha. Thank you, Don, for joining us, man. We appreciate you. We're gonna have to keep my reins running, but we appreciate you being here with us, big brother. All right. Mama D, give us a final thought.
I think what you guys are doing is wonderful.
Well,
I call it all a big debate, but it's wonderful. And I love you guys for reaching out to the public. This was necessary, and I'm done with that.
Will you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Will you stay beautiful until I talk to you again?
I'm going to put a little makeup on and try to get cute.
Bye. Thank you. Pastor Wallace, get us out of here, man.
It's been a joy, man. We thank God for everybody who had a chance. For all those who had a chance also to listen and to chime in such a way where it's to say that it's faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear more of him. And I'll leave everyone with this, because Jeremiah 33 verse 3 states very clearly, he says, call upon me and I would answer, and I would show you great and mighty things that you knew not. In other words, he got some things in store for people who just call upon his name. Now he's giving us an opportunity to let him do for us what we're unable to do for ourselves. Everything's going to be all right. In that order.
All right. Glory all right. And with that, we're going to get out of here. You've been listening to Talk Straight. Join us at 7 o'clock this Thursday night for another episode of Talk Straight. Pastor Ricky Walla, our co-host, and all of those that have joined us tonight on live stream on Facebook, thank you so much. We'll be back on Thursday at 7 o'clock.